Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Here we are, everybody. We're back, and we like to say we're better than ever. I'm not even sure if that's true or not.
But I like to say it. It makes me feel like I'm better than ever in this moment right now.
It gives me a surge.
Oh, yeah.
Of confidence. We're back and better than ever.
I love it.
We're happy to be back. I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
I hope that we're better than ever.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, actually.
But we're happy to be here.
If we are not better than ever, don't tell us. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to be criticized.
I don't want to be criticized. Just tell me I'm doing really good. And that's about it.
Yeah. It's a little throwback to yesterday, if you were listening.
Don't criticize me.
That's right. Well, we are right in the middle now of this awesome message from Pastor Tim, Are You Lukewarm? And I had a really interesting moment with a teenager a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. If you guys don't know, if you're new listening, I'm the youth pastor at our church at Cornerstone, and I was doing some small groups, some kind of, you know, smaller discipleship moments with some teenagers. And it was a young boy, I think he's in ninth grade. And we were talking about the idea of what you do now has an impact in the future. You can impact the kingdom of God right now. Hmm. And he was having a hard time grasping the idea that what I do right now has consequences in the future, whether good or bad. And he was like, why can't I just right now live however I want to live, just kind of follow my heart, and then like later, like when I'm an adult, like when I'm in college, really like pursue the things of God and really be a Christian and kind of change my life then. But like right now, why can't I just kind of have fun? And I started to really talk with him, and he had this misconception of what the good life was.
Interesting.
He had this misconception that just following his heart, doing whatever he wanted, that was the like ultimate goal for him.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, we might not say it out loud like that, but we can get that spirit inside of us.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, if we're not putting up our guard, and let me tell you, that spirit will get you lukewarm almost faster than anything else.
Oh, man, there's a lot there to unpack. But as you were speaking, it did remind me that I think there is a troublesome future coming for those who are just only following their heart.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, come on.
There's a troublesome future coming. And I want to touch on this a little bit here at the end today, Pastor Aaron, about how important discipline is.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to the message right now.
Let's do it.
The Lord would say your personal opinion about yourself is not the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You think you got it all together? You think that you're where you need to be? You don't think you have much need? I want you to know that your personal opinion is not really the way it ought to be. That's not really the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. You know, that's true humility. You know, Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He says, you know what? I get a lot of criticism, but when I truly look inward, I don't agree with those criticisms. I'm not seeing this in me. I'm not who they say that I am in their criticisms. But you know what? My personal opinion about myself, that's not really what matters. It really doesn't justify me. I might not be who I think I am or who others say that I am, but he who judges me is the Lord. What really matters is what God says about me, what God thinks about me, God's perspective on me. And this Laodicean church, that they thought they were something when they were really, truly nothing. And the only way we can be something in God is if we embrace our nothingness outside of God so that he might fill us and then we can become something in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you lukewarm? Well, I don't want to be that. The contrasts are shocking. What they think they are and what they really are. What a contrast. What they see about themselves and what Jesus sees about them. Their idea of personal wealth and what makes them rich, and truly, they were spiritually poor. They weren't rich at all. You know, what makes you rich in God? Or what makes you feel rich, like wealthy, truly satisfied, or full of? Is it the job, the bank account, the house, the children, living in America, vacations, awards, position, power, influence? Is it all these things that make you feel good about yourself? Or is it who you are in Christ, what He's done for you, how He's at work in you, and really your wealth is the measure of your surrender to God? Think about that. We are as rich and as wealthy as we are in our surrender to God. The more that I decrease, the more that He increases. The less of me, the more of Him. The more I surrender, the more I have of Him. And the more I have of Him, really, truly, honestly, the more wealthy I am in Him. Amen to that? Hallelujah. The rebuke of Jesus Christ, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So I was thinking about this. They were in His mouth, and now He's going to vomit them out of His mouth. So I was thinking, when are we really in His mouth? Well, Jesus is our high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. At the Last Supper, Jesus turned to Peter and said, you know what, Peter, Satan has come. He has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. So Peter was in the mouth of Jesus as he prayed for him. And that's how we get in God's mouth, or in Jesus' mouth, is that we are on His lips or in His mouth as He intercedes for us, as He prays for us. Imagine that. Jesus prays for me, and Jesus prays for you, just as He prayed for the Apostle Peter. But here He says, man, because you are so lukewarm, so distasteful to me, I am going to spew you out of my mouth. Imagine that. I'd rather be in His mouth, Him praying for me. I have this quote here. Lukewarm deeds, however, those done without joy, without love, and without the fire of the Spirit, do harm to the watching world. So lukewarm deeds do harm to the watching world. What he means by that is our testimony of being a Christian. If we are lukewarm, then I want you to know that does harm to our testimony to the cause of Christ. And he says lukewarm deeds are without joy, without love, and without the fire of the Spirit. The lukewarm are those who claim to know God but live as though He doesn't exist. They may go to church and practice a form of religion, but their inner state is one of self-righteous complacency. They claim to be Christians, but their hearts are unchanged, and their hypocrisy is sickening to God. So that hypocrisy of claiming to be, but really living far below that. You claim to know Christ, but you live like you're an atheist. What do you mean by that? In your daily decisions, you do not include God. And in doing life, you do not depend on God. You're just living life as if there is no God. So your testimony might be, I believe in God, but your lifestyle says, I don't even think God's real or God exists because I don't pray, I don't need Him, I don't depend on Him, I don't honor Him, I don't look to Him. He's the furthest thing from my thoughts. As a matter of fact, I'm rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. I don't even need God. Now that's being like an atheist, isn't it? I know this is challenging, but we need to be challenged, don't we? I certainly don't want Cornerstone to be like a Laodicean church. If we could be any type of church, I want us to be the Philadelphia church. That great commitment to the great commission, and the God sets before us an open door, and by faith we're going through that open door and sharing our faith. You know, there's two churches of the seven churches that Jesus had no rebuke for. The one church, Smyrna, that was just terribly persecuted, and the Lord spoke comforting, reassuring words to them. It wasn't time for a rebuke at all, because they were just in such suffering for their faith in Christ, the Church of Smyrna, and the other one is the Philadelphia Church.
You were talking about how there's a lot of people who they live their life by simply following their heart.
Yeah.
Their feelings. I guess you could almost just say their feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and I think that kind of comes from there was this push, even in like media, movies, TV shows, maybe from when I was a kid growing up, like that was a message that was put out there. Just follow your heart.
Yeah.
And we just grabbed a hold of it.
It sounds great, especially if you feel like you have a good heart.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And but I want to say this, because when it comes to following your heart, one of the things that's going to fall to the wayside eventually, I think, is discipline, Pastor Aaron. And discipline tells myself this: I'm going to do the things I don't feel like doing because I know they're good for me.
Yep.
You see, that's not really following your heart. That's a little bit more like following the rules. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was listening to a guy talking about self-discipline.
Okay.
It was really motivating. And he said something I kind of had never heard before. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think that's spot on. I mean, there could be some tweaking to this in the future for us if we want to think it through more. But he said this. He says, the reason discipline is so important is because it's the highest form of self-love.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, that's true. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And the people who are really disciplined really, really, really value their own personal, like, I don't know if I want to say opinions, but they value themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he went on to say this, and you can critique me if you want to. It's totally fine, because it's not my thing, but I really liked it. He said, we all have a boss.
Yeah.
Most people do, right?
Yeah.
And the boss says, show up at 8 a.m., and we're going to meet for an hour, and then we're going to do our work. We're going to touch base back at 1 p.m., do this, da-da-da. You can go home at 5.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right? And we do that for our boss.
Yeah.
And we respect him or her.
Oh, yeah.
And we say, yes, yes, yes. And then we tell ourselves to do something, like eat healthy, exercise.
Yeah.
Read a book.
Yeah.
And we don't do it.
Yeah. We're like, ah.
Is that because we respect our boss more than we even respect ourselves?
Hmm. Wow. Maybe it is.
It might be.
It might be.
And I want to say right now that discipline is telling yourself to do something, and you're going to do it even when you don't feel like it, because you truly value, I think, your personal spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines. You value what the Lord has told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it truly shows somebody who truly does love themselves, because they know how much God loves them.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I actually have some thoughts I would love to bring into this conversation and exactly how it relates to being lukewarm. But we're running out of time today. So maybe I'll do that tomorrow morning when we get back here. But today's Wednesday,
which means
we got church tonight.
Let's go.
And we're so excited about what's happening here on Wednesday nights. It is absolutely incredible what God's been doing. We'd love to have you out tonight, 7 o'clock.
Yep. And we'll be right back here tomorrow morning.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.